الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were reading from the chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى فضل طالب العلم, the virtue of seeking knowledge. We have seen a number of virtues and benefits with regards to what the author he has mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise other than him from the scholars of hadith with regards to these noble virtues. And the author, he mentioned a number of important points clarifying those noble attributes and manners of the one who will be considered from those who will obtain these virtues, and that these virtues are for those who are truthful in their search for knowledge, those who are truthful in their seeking of knowledge, seeking it for the pleasure of Allah with sincere faith, hoping to know Allah Azza wa Jal by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection in order to worship Him and to draw near to Him in a manner pleasing to Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and learning His law and legislation, the halal and the haram, and the obligations and the prohibitions, in order to be upon a straight path in his life. He seeks knowledge with this intention. He seeks knowledge with this intention. It will not be long. It will not be long that this knowledge will be seen in this person's manners and his conduct. And it will be seen in his statements and his actions and his dealings with the people. And his dealings with the people. And he will be from those who are truly on the path to paradise, and from those who are striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal to establish His religion and to raise the statement La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And likewise, he will be from those whom the angels they supplicate for and they support and aid and lower their wings for, and from those who the entire creation will seek forgiveness for. And we had mentioned in our previous class that here the author he's referring to a number of narrations that he mentioned the original text. And we had chosen one narration that mentions a number of these virtues, and that is the narration of Abi Darda radiallahu anhu, which is collected by a number of great scholars of hadith, from them Abu Dawood, and likewise from them Ibn Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Imam Ahmad and Al-Tabarani في مسند الشاميين. And the narration is well known. Abu Dawood in his Sunan, he has a chapter, Kitab al-Ilm, the chapter of knowledge. The very first chapter is the chapter Babu al-Hath ala Talib al-Ilm, the chapter, the encouragement to seek knowledge. And under this chapter, the first narration that he mentioned is the narration of Abi Darda radiallahu anhu. So we study this narration in some brief and beneficial detail, insha'Allah ta'ala, in these next classes. And the narration has been made available. In the Masjid Telegram channel with the translation in a manner that one could easily follow along and take notes. Because this narration, the people of knowledge have clarified that it consists of five statements, five beneficial sentences, each one of them clarifying a virtue from the virtues of knowledge, and a virtue from the virtues of the people of knowledge. It consists of five sentences clarifying five different virtues of knowledge and its people. But whenever we read the narration, then we see that even before the marfu' from the narration, the part that is ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is benefits from the narrators. And Abu Dawood rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this narration with his chain to Kathir ibn Qais rahimahullah ta'ala. He's from the Tabi'in. He says, قَالَ كُنْتُ جَالِسًا مَعَ أَبِي الدَّرْدَاء رضي الله عنه في مسجد دمشق. He said, I was sitting with Abu al-Darda رضي الله عنه in the Masjid of Damascus. And he says, فجاءه رجل فقال يا أبا الدرداء إني جئت من مدينة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لحديث بلغني أنك تحدثه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما جئت لحاجة. He said the man he came and he came to the gathering, he came to Abu Darda رضي الله عنه and informed him. He said, verily I have come to you from the city of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. I have come to you from the city of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a narration that has reached me that you narrate on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For a narration, li hadithin yani li hadithin wahidin. He's coming all this way from Al-Madinah to Dimashq for one narration that it has reached him. That has reached him that Abu Darda, he narrates on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, "Ma jitu li haja. I did not come for any other need. I didn't come for any other need." In another wording, Ibn Majah, he says, "Fama jaa bika tijara." He said to him, Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he asked him, he said, Fama jaa bika tijara. He said, "No business has brought you here. I mean, no commerce or no trade. You're not, you know, coming here to take care of some business, to make some money, to get some worldly gain." He said, "Faqala la." He said, "No, I said no. He said, "Wa ma jita li haji." He said, "You didn't come for anything else." He said, "Only this." He said, "Only." "Wa ma jita bi ghayri hadha." He said, "Did you come for something else beside that?" He said, "No, I only came for this narration. And this is the only thing I traveled and I left my home in search for, coming this distance." At this time, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, whenever he heard this man and his desire to learn and the effort that he's putting forth to obtain this knowledge, now he remembers radiallahu anhu this narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he mentions this narration because of the state of this individual, to encourage him and to give him glad tidings of his efforts, and that inshaAllah he will find what he's looking for and that Allah will facilitate for him. وَالْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. You need to reassure him and to grant him glad tidings that the recompense is according to the type of action. And this person, his action is noble and lofty. Therefore, his recompense likewise will be noble and lofty. So now he mentioned to him, رضي الله عنه, this narration. قَالَ فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. He said, "Indeed, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, من سلك طريقا يطلب فيه علما سلك الله به طريقا من طرق الجنة. Then whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will set him on a path from the pathways to paradise. This is the first sentence. وإن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها رضا لطالب العلم. And indeed the angels, they lower their wings being pleased with the student of knowledge. This is the second statement. وإن العالم لا يستغفر له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض والحيتان وفي جوف الماء. And that a learned man, a scholar, a person of knowledge, everything in the heavens and the earth seek forgiveness for him, even the fish and the water. This is the third statement. وإن فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر ليلة البدر على سائر الكواكب. And indeed the virtue of the learned man, the virtue of the scholar, the person of knowledge, the person of knowledge, al-alim, over the devout worshipper is like the virtue of the moon on a full moon's night over the rest of the stars. Over the rest of the stars. This is the fourth statement. وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمَ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. And indeed, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And the prophets, they did not leave behind any dinar or nor dirham as inheritance, any no wealth. They did not leave behind wealth as an inheritance. Rather, they left behind knowledge. So therefore, whoever takes that, whoever takes it, obtains it, then he has obtained a great portion. I mean, a great portion of good for himself in this life and the hereafter. And this is the fifth statement. And this is the fifth statement. So this is an amazing narration, and I highly encourage the brothers and sisters to memorize this narration. To memorize this narration here, and we have it now, the wording of Abu Dawood, rahimahullahu ta'ala. The wording that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, this is a good and complete wording. And Allah knows best from The hadith of Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhu, من سلك طريقا يطلب فيه علما سلك الله به طريقا من طرق الجنة. من سلك طريقا يطلب فيه علما سلك الله به طريقا من طرق الجنة. وإن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها رضا لطالب العلم. وإن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها رضا لطالب العلم. وإن العالم ليستغفر له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض والحيتان في جوف الماء. وإن فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر ليلة البدر على سائر الكواكب. وإن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، ورثوا العلم، فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر. أخذ بحظ وافر. It has been narrated in this manner as collected by Abu Dawood rahimahullah ta'ala, and these statements here have been narrated likewise individually and in different narrations, and the author, he mentioned some of them in those narrations, but here we have these narrations all mentioned together. And no doubt this is an amazing narration and a great encouragement to seek knowledge. And a person, whenever he realizes the virtue of something, this is a means that will facilitate for him and make it easy for him to bear the hardships that will come about. Make it easy for him to bear the hardships that will come about in that path, and the challenges that he will face. And the greater and more lofty something is, the greater the challenges will be in obtaining it. And this is not something that is light. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Indeed, we're going to reveal to you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a heavy statement. This is a heavy statement. It's not as heavy, al-ilmu thaqeel. It's very heavy. But the one who is truthful and sincere, we have seen that Allah will facilitate for him and make it easy and grant him success. And he will be guided to deal with those challenges and face them with honor and nobility and in the best manner until it becomes easy for him by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So looking at the beginning of this narration, Kathir ibn Qais, rahimahullah ta'ala, in some words, Qais ibn Kathir. And Allah knows best. In any case, he's sitting with Abu Darda. So he is sitting in the masjid. And this is from the methodology of the Salaf. Clearly, sitting with the people of knowledge in the masjid and benefiting. And this is what he's mentioning here. And then a man he came. This man, he's a traveler. This man, he came from Al-Madinah. They're in Dimashq. They're far from Al-Madinah. Especially in those days when they're traveling on camels or on foot, and the likes like this. And this man, he traveled this distance, and he traveled for the intention to obtain one narration that has reached him, that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is alive still, and he narrates this narration. So this shows the great desire to learn and the great courage likewise to strive and to go through hardship and difficulty and to face that in the path of knowledge. No doubt he went through great hardships and difficulty, and this is because he realized and he was granted success to know the virtue of this knowledge. The one who realizes the virtue of this knowledge, traveling from Medina to Damascus on a camel will be nothing for him. Rather he'll find delight in that, and he'll take pleasure in that, and he'll take honor and pride. And that, alhamdulillah, and thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is on this path. And this is the case of this knowledge. It is heavy and it is great. It is lofty and it is high. And a person, he will realize that, and then the efforts that he exerts in order to obtain it will be considered insignificant now, after realizing the virtue of what he is searching for and seeking after. The people of knowledge, they mention here that this is the methodology of the people of hadith, the scholars of hadith specifically, with regards to knowledge, that they will travel to seek knowledge. And this was something that is well known, that they will travel to seek knowledge until the extent that whenever today, if we study in the books of hadith, for example, in Bukhari, he has a chapter. We discuss it in Insha'Allah. Babun al-Khuruju fi talib al-ilm. Bab, the chapter going out to seek knowledge. And whenever we look into the books of Mustalah Hadith and the sciences of Hadith, you will find chapters about this affair specifically. Ar-Rihlatu fi Talib al-Hadith. And there will be a chapter, and from the chapters of the sciences of Hadith and the different aspects of the narrations, and from that the chapter related to traveling to seek knowledge. Rather, some of the scholars, they will write
they will write individual works about this subject only, like Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 463. He has a book entitled Arihatu fi Talib al-Hadith, Arihatu fi Talib al-Hadith, traveling to seek the narrations. So this is something that is well known. Ibn al-Salah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 643. And he has a great work of Mustalah Hadith, a great work of Mustalah Hadith called Ma'rifatu Ilm al-Hadith. Ma'rifatu Ilm al-Hadith. It's also known as Muqaddima Ibn al-Salah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. In there he mentioned, وَإِذَا فَرَغَ مِنْ سَمَعِ الْعَوَالِ وَالْمُهِمَّاتِ أَلَتِ بِبَلَدِهِ فَلْيَرْحَلْ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. And whenever a student of Hadith, whenever he is done hearing all of the high chains that are in his lands and the important narrations that are in his city and in his lands, then he will travel to the other lands. Then he will travel to the other lands. At Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was asked about traveling to seek knowledge. At Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahl Sunnati wa Jama'ah, he died in the year 241. He was asked, rahimahullah, ayarhalu rajulu fi talib al-ulu? Should a man travel in order to seek the narrations, yani to seek the high chain in narration? And maybe he could find the narration in his town, but if he traveled to another land, he could find the same narration with a higher chain, with fewer men on the chain, closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Should a man travel for this reason? فَقَالَ بَلَى وَاللَّهِ شَدِيدًا بَلَى وَاللَّهِ شَدِيدًا. He said, yes, of course he should do that severely, and indeed, no doubt, he should travel for this purpose, for this reason. Indeed, he should travel and strive hard in that way for this purpose and this reason. He mentioned, rahimahullah, لَقَدْ كَانَ أَلْقَمَةُ وَالْأَسْوَدُ يَبْلُغُهُمَا الْحَدِيثُ عَنْ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَلَا يُقْنِعُهُمَا حَتَّى يَخْرُجَا إِلَى عُمَرَ فَيَسْمَعَانِهِ مِنْهُ. And he said, indeed, Alqama and Al-Aswad, Alqama ibn Qais al-Nakhai, Al-Aswad ibn Yazid al-Nakhai, both of them from the students of Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhuma, from the best of them. From the best of them. Imam Ahmad, he says about them that a narration will reach the two of them from Umar, radiyallahu anhu, and they will not be satisfied until they leave their home and they go out and they travel to Umar and they hear it directly from him. And they hear it directly from him. So this is a methodology that is well known, traveling to seek knowledge, especially the knowledge of the narrations. But in general, today, to seek knowledge of the deen, the knowledge of the proper creed and belief, the knowledge of the sunnah and the laws and legal ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something that is of utmost importance and of high and lofty status. And those on that path, they are on the path of Allah azza wa jalla until they return. They are on the path of Allah azza wa jalla until they return. And those who are sincere and truthful in this way, they will find great benefit, support and aid and help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in manners and means they could never perceive or even think of. In manners and means they could never perceive or think of. So long as they strive hard and they're sincere in that path and they take the means that they have available, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate for them and they will find great support and amazing affairs in that path. And likewise, they will return so long as they strive to purify that intention and to keep it good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will return and likewise be a great benefit for the people. It's been narrated by Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 162. He died in the year 162. He says, Inna Allah ta'ala yadfa'u al-bala'a an hadhihi al-ummati bi rihlati ashab al-hadith. Bi rihlati ashab al-hadith. That indeed Allah, He repels the calamities. That indeed Allah, He repels the calamities, the trials from this ummah by the travels of the scholars of hadith. By the travels of the scholars of hadith. Yani the people through the lands, as the lands are being conquered and the borders of the Islamic empire are spreading, many people are accepting Islam wholeheartedly and they're entering into the deen properly and they learn the religion and become from the best of the believers. But others, they are entering into Islam, yani they're entering into Islam outwardly and they're concealing in their heart disbelief, the zanadiqa, the heretics, and they would strive to introduce doubts into the ranks, into the hearts of the believers. And they continue in this manner today. And likewise, in this effort, they started to fabricate narrations and lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They started to fabricate narrations and lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now there are narrations that are spreading and being taught to the people and spreading through the ummah, but they're fabricated in lies. They're fabricated in lies, and many of them are fabricated in order to suit their desires and their whims, and to support their misguidance and innovation. To support their misguidance and innovation. At this time, the people of Hadith, the scholars of the Sunnah, they stood up and they would travel to the lands and they would identify the people. They would identify the men and they would learn the narrations and memorize them and carry them and teach them and defend them, and likewise verify those that are authentic and identify as well those weak narrations and those who were liars and those who were cheaters and those who were deceptive, until the extent that Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned he died in the year 161. لَمَّا اسْتَعْمَلَ الرُّوَاتُ الْكَذِبَ اسْتَعْمَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ التَّارِيخِ اسْتَعْمَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ التَّارِيخِ. Whenever the narrators, they started using lying, they started lying in the narrations, then we used against them the history. And then we used against them history, meaning the dates. The dates in history. One of them would say that indeed he heard so-and-so narrate to him that so-and-so narrated to him, that so-and-so narrated to him. And they would say to him, when did you hear so-and-so narrate this narration? And he would say, in the year 200 and such and such. And he would say, you heard it after he died by 20 years. You're a liar. Condemned to. Like this. I mean, they would be able to identify these affairs in many different avenues. And they were very diligent and gifted in this affair. Likewise, selected and chosen. Just as the companions, they're selected and chosen to accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, the scholars of hadith as well, after they were selected and chosen to defend that way and to defend that creed and that deen. Allahu Akbar. May Allah allow us to love them and to follow their way and to live upon their creed and belief and to die upon it in a manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah ta'ala yadfa'u al-bala an hadhi al-ummati bi Rihlati Ashab al-Hadith, the narration of Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah, that indeed Allah, He will repel the trials and calamities from this nation by the travels of the scholars of Hadith. Likewise, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned another beautiful statement in relation to this. He said, rahimahullah, al-Malaikatu hurrasu al-Sama, wa Ashab al-Hadith hurrasu al-Ard. That the angels, they're the guardians of the heavens. The angels, they're the guardians of the heavens. But the scholars of hadith, they're the guardians of the earth. And they're the ones who are verifying the true religion and the true deen, clarifying that and establishing that and teaching that and spreading that and defending that. Allahu Akbar. This is an amazing statement to realize the virtue of the people of knowledge, the true people of knowledge, what they had went through and the efforts that they had given and the challenges that they faced, and that was they sacrificed from their wealth and their time and their life and their soul and their efforts in order to defend the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and to spread the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They went through great hardships to make it easy for those after them to be able to learn and to study and to see the truth clearly and to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his companions radiyallahu anhum, upon clarity. It's been narrated by Amr al-Sha'bi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 104, he narrated to a man a narration one time. He was seen and he narrated to a man a narration one time, but then he said to him after that, أَعْطَيْنَاكَهَا بِغَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَعْطَيْنَاكَهَا بِغَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. He narrated him to a narration, and he with his chain, and then to this text from the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he said, we gave it to you for nothing. We gave this to you for nothing. أَعْطَيْنَاكَهَا بِغَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. We gave this to you for nothing. We gave this narration to you for nothing. He says, قَدْ كَانَ يُرْكَبُ فِي مَا دُونَهَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Before this, we used to want someone would travel for a narration lesser than this. For a narration lesser than this all the way to Medina. All the way to Al-Madinah. And he's from Al-Kufa. And he's saying, we gave this to you for free. Before us, we would travel for narrations lesser than this. Any lesser than this in rank and status or in benefit. We would travel for these great distances. Here I'm giving it to you for nothing. Here I'm giving it to you for nothing. And likewise, this is that benefit going back to having that pure intention. That a person now, he will be able to teach the people and clarify. And he will carry that knowledge with him, and others will benefit from him directly. They will not have to go through the hardships that they went through. Rather, they can sit at his feet or walk in his company and the likes like this, and he can benefit them and clarify. They can benefit them and clarify. And this is also an indication of his high, lofty status. if he's sincere and truthful. If he's sincere and truthful. Likewise, it has been narrated by Abu Aliyah, Ar-Riyahi, by Abu Aliyah, Ar-Riyahi, also from the Tabi'in, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he died in the year 93. He said, كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ الرِّوَايَةَ بِالْبَصْرَ عَنَ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَلَمْ نَرْضَى حَتَّى رَكِبْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَسَمِعْنَاهَا مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. He said, indeed, we used to hear a narration, and we're in Al-Basra, yani in Al-Iraq. And we're in Al-Basra from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we would not be pleased until we rode to Al-Madinah and we heard it from their mouths. Until we rode to Al-Madinah and we heard it from their mouths. And this is an indication again of the great effort that they made and the diligence that they had and the sacrifice that they made, the great effort that they put forth and the diligence that they had. And the sacrifice that they made to learn the narration. They would hear these narrations from maybe some of the Kibar al-Tabi'in, for example, in their town. The Kibar al-Tabi'in, those who heard the narrations from the companions, radiallahu anhum, but one of them would not be satisfied with that until he traveled himself. He traveled himself. He would leave his home so long as that person is there and alive, still narrating that narration. He would not be satisfied. Not meaning he would not accept it, but he would not be happy. He won't want to be closer on the chain. He won't want to hear it directly. He won't want to verify and have certainty even greater. And he have even greater certainty. Any of the efforts that they would go until they would hear it from the mouths of the companions, radiallahu anhum. And these are the true people of knowledge. Because in this manner, knowledge is sought. In this manner, knowledge is sought. A person, he will go through hardship and difficulty, and he will go through, and he will face many challenges until he's able to take the knowledge from the mouths of the people of knowledge. And this is the proper manner. And the scholars, they used to say, the scholars of the Salaf, they would say, مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَلْ لَا يُرْحَلْ إِلَيْهِ, that whoever does not travel, and مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَلْ فِي طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ لَا يُرْحَلْ إِلَيْهِ, the one who does not set out in a journey, then no one should travel to him. The one who does not travel, then no one should travel to him. Meaning the one who does not travel to seek knowledge. The one who did not leave his home and go through hardship and difficulty and spend time in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, traveling to the different lands to hear from the people of knowledge directly, then no one should travel to him and benefit from him, because in this manner he will not be able to truly obtain knowledge. He will not be able to truly obtain knowledge. Knowledge is truly obtained by sitting at the feet of the scholars and until one's knees they hurt and one's back they hurts, until the people of knowledge, they mention this affair when discussing the issues of knowledge, they talk about thaniya rukab, meaning you have to bend your knees. You have to bend your knees. Yani bending the knees meaning sitting down in the manner of a student in order to benefit and learn at the feet of the scholars, so that you can hear the deen being taught from the mouths of the people of knowledge. This is the beautiful way. This is the proper way. Although today, no doubt, we can benefit. Alhamdulillah, we have these means that are very beneficial, but it's not equal. It's not equal. The one who learns only from distance is not like the one who learns sitting at the foot of the scholar. Even the one who's in the gathering, but he's in the back. It's not like the one who's sitting at his foot. No, don't get this confused. Especially in a gathering where the gatherings are large. Like the gatherings of the scholars in Medina, like the gatherings of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Abbad al-Badr, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, or like Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhaili, or like Sheikh Abdul Razzaq al-Badr, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. These gatherings, they're vast. I myself, for example, if I want to sit close behind the reader in the dars of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, of our Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, his dars is after Maghrib. If I want to sit in that place at his feet, where I can see his lips move, and I can see the reader reading, and I can see everything, and right next to him, only maybe one person in front of me, like this, I will leave before Asr. I will leave the Jamia before Asr, in order to get to Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi before Asr, so that I could establish my place in that class before it starts, and then I will wait there, and then I will pray Asr, and then wait there until Maghrib time. And if you do not do this, you will not sit in that place. You will sit in the back. Those who sit in the back, they just come whenever. And accordingly, even if you sit in the middle, you just this person. My point is, in order to sit in the front, you have to strive and make great effort. Similar like we see here in this message in Ramadan. You want to pray in the front row in Ramadan? You want to pray in the front row in Ramadan? You can't come at the adhan. You can't come at the akama and expect to sit at the front to pray in the front row in Ramadan in our message, alhamdulillah, because the brothers are competing. The brothers, some of them are already here from Asr, also likewise, sitting and waiting in that spot. Sitting and waiting for the prayer. So it's similar like this. So the one who comes at Maghrib time, it's not like the one who comes at Asr. The one who comes at Maghrib time for the prayer at Maghrib, he's not the one who's come at Asr. The one who comes at Asr, what carried him to do that? Great love and concern, great desire to come and to bear that hardship in order to sit there and see. So the one who is close is not like the one who is far. And the one who is there is not like the one who is absent. It's not like the one who is absent. So it's a great difference. It's a great difference. The same thing in the Sheikh Suleiman's class. We'll come early. His class is after Asr. So I will come early before Asr. And I will go put my stuff at the place of Sheikh Abdul Mahsin and then pray and then leave and go to Sheikh Suleiman and rush back. I would compete over there with the brothers and then come back like this. You have to compete. This is reminding me. Ashayb is Sayyidkar. Allahu Akbar. One time in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, you know, the Imam is in the front. So the ranks on the side of the Imam, they go outside the door. Outside the doors. It's on the saha, on the courtyard. The front row is gonna go from inside the masjid outside the doors, on the right and the left side, and extend on the courtyard, all the way to the right, all the way to the left. And then it will go back and back and back all the way till the doors come from the wings of the Masjid al-Nabawi. If you keep going in the direction of the Qibla, past the Imam, you go through the buildings about two blocks, there's another masjid on the corner. It's called Masjid Dhu Nurain. Masjid Dhu Nurain. Dhu Nurain, the Masjid of the Two Lights, meaning it's the Masjid of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. And many of the mashaykh, they used to teach there. Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabari, he used to teach there, rahimahullah. We used to go to his classes after Asr and the likes like that, likewise. So, but we would pray. We will pray in Masjid al-Nabawi, because praying in the Masjid al-Nabawi is not like praying in Masjid al-Nurain. Praying in Masjid al-Nabawi is 1,000 times greater, right, than any other masjid. So at one time there was a class after Asr, I remember this, and I was with my friend Abdullah. I had two friends, Abdullah. One is from Gambia and one of them is from France. And he reminded me of something, inshallah, is beneficial. So I was with the Gambian brother, Abdullah Gambia, we're reviewing, but we decided we're going to go at the time of the Iqama. We went outside. So we said, we can get on the front row, but outside. So that way, after the Salah, immediately we can get up and leave and rush to the masjid to have a good place in the Dars and the other masjid. So it was me and Abdullah Gambi, and we had this plan, and we did this. And whenever we leave, as soon as the prayer is over, we get up and leave. No adhkar, nothing. Make the adhkar when you're going. You make the adhkar when you're going. We're trying to get to this other masjid, huh? Yeah, hadha fi yani maslaha. Tazahum al masalih. So the maslaha of being close in the other class, it takes preference. You know, we make the adhkar while we're walking. But we don't want to run. We don't want to run through the masjid. We don't want to run anyways. Any students of knowledge, they're not going to be running through the city and the likes like this, carrying books. So we're walking quickly. And there's me and Abdullah. And the next thing you know, Abdullah Faransi, he came flying past us. Walking faster than us. He's like, Assalamu alaikum. Like, where did he come from? So he was doing the same thing. Yani, Alhamdulillah. We used to compete like this. So you have to work hard. We say these things, Alhamdulillah. So there's many youth here. Wallahi, it's very pleasing. Very pleasing and satisfying. Alhamdulillah, to see the young brothers, mashallah, attending the class every night. Allahu Akbar, taking notes, reviewing, writing. This is very pleasing. Brothers attending the classes and the masjid, alhamdulillah. Very, very happy for that. So you hear this, so now you be diligent. You be diligent. You need to benefit from these classes, and then from there you benefit. Also, inshallah, you continue. Maybe you will be in Al-Madinah someday, striving to compete, with the students of knowledge, to benefit from the scholars. To benefit from the scholars. One thing that you do is you strive in this manner in order to know the scholars. To know them, to benefit from them, to know how they move, how they act, how they deal with certain situations, so that you can see this and benefit from them and follow them in their manners and conduct. Not so that they can know you. Not so that they can know you. There's a big difference between somebody trying to be the first in the lesson in order to be known or in order to know. The one who wants to go there in order to know the scholars and to benefit from them and to learn their fatawa and their methodology and their way and to see their manners and their conduct, this is a beautiful intention. As for the one who wants to go there so that he can be known. And this is something that the students are tried with. And this is something that is present. So you don't want to be known, you want to know. You want to have knowledge. You want to know the scholars. You want to know their manners and conduct. You want to know their fatawa and their positions and the issues where there's differences of opinion and the likes like this. All of this is from the benefits of striving to seek knowledge, and likewise from traveling to seek knowledge. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, the salaf, they are diligent in this affair. Rather, it's a methodology, and the fundamental principle in this and evidence, it goes back even to the prophets and messengers. Who am I referring to? Traveling to seek knowledge. Who is from the first that we know to travel to seek knowledge? Musa alayhi salam. إِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. He mentioned Musa, whenever he heard about this man al-Khadir, he has knowledge that he did not have. Musa is a prophet and messenger from the best, من المخلصين. He's from the best of mankind. Rather, in his time, he's the best of the people and the most knowledgeable. But he was informed of someone who has knowledge that he did not have. He was informed of someone who has knowledge that he did not have. So this is what he said. Whenever Musa, he said to his servant, لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبَ. I will not stop. I'm going to find him. I'm going to search for this man who has this knowledge I do not have. I'm going to travel. I'm going to travel and I will not stop until I reach the places where the two seas meet. Yani, where I'm going to travel for a long time. أَمْضِيَ حُقُبَ. Yani, سِنِينَ عَدِيدَ. Many years. He's ready to travel many years to get this knowledge that he is aware of, that someone else has, that he does not, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the fundamental principle with regards to that. And likewise, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the different tribes, they would send delegations, especially in Aam al-Wufud, the year of the delegations. What year was that? The year of the delegations, huh? The ninth, at-tasi'ah, sent. The ninth year after the conquest of Mecca, the tribes they all surrendered and submitted and they accepted al-Islam, and they would send delegations to pledge their allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them traveling from the different lands, from the lands far and wide, from the Arab and the different tribes, to pledge their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on behalf of themselves and their tribesmen, and also to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Individuals as well, they're traveling. Salman al-Farisi, he traveled to seek knowledge. He said, radiallahu anhu, he's traveling to seek knowledge. Many of the companions like this in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Ad-Dawsi, he's from the tribe of Ad-Dawsi, he came from Al-Yemen. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he's traveling to Al-Madina from Al-Yemen in order to meet up with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learn from him. And then in this manner, they became from the best of the companions and those who carried the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even until after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions continue. It's been mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. He has a chapter in Kitab al-Ilm, Babu al-Khuruj fi Talib al-Ilm. And in Sahih Bukhari, Kitab al-Ilm, Babu al-Khuruj fi Talib al-Ilm, in the Book of Knowledge, the chapter, Leaving Out to Seek Knowledge. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَرَحَلَ جَابِرُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ إِلَىٰ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ أُنَيْسِ فِي حَدِيثٍ وَاحِدٍ. That Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, he set out on a journey. He traveled a month's journey. He traveled the distance of a month's journey to Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu in search of one narration. Likewise, وَرَحَلَ, and this is also collected by Khatib al-Baghdadi, in al-Jami, he mentioned وَرَحَلَ أَبُوْ أَيُّوبَ الْأَنْصَارِ إِلَىٰ عُقْبَ إِبْنْ عَامِرِ بِمِصْرِ فَقَالَ حَدِّثْنَا مَا سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي سَتْرِ الْمُسْلِمِ فِي سَتْرِ الْمُسْلِمِ لَمْ يَبْقَ أَحَدٌ سَمِعَهُ غَيْرِي وَغَيْرُكَ. Yani Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he traveled from Medina to Egypt in order to meet Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. Whenever he reached him, he said to him, narrate to me that which you heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the narration of covering the faults of a Muslim. Which narration is that? From the narration of covering the faults of the Muslim, he said, indeed, no one is left alive, no one is remaining who heard that narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except me and you. And he said, he already heard it. So now he's going there just to verify and to hear it from another person who heard it. Likewise, to make sure that he remembers it properly. What narration is that? Is this man? It's the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that we had taken, the narration number 36. من ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة. That's that narration that in it is the portion ومن سلك طريقا يتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. So he traveled to seek this narration, to ask about this narration, and he knows it. So whenever he got there, he informed him. He came off of his animal. He spoke to him and he narrated to him the narration, and he got back on. He never even took down his belongings, and he returned back. And he came for one reason. He came to verify a narration that he already knows. That he already knows, radiallahu anhu. So this was the diligence that they had. Likewise, collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, mawqufan alayhi. From the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, mawquf. Yani meaning from the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, that he says, Wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayru. He said, I swear by Allah, the one who there is no true God worthy of worship besides him. ما أنزلت سورة في كتاب الله إلا وأنا أعلم أين أنزلت. He said, no chapter has been revealed from the book of Allah except I know where it was revealed. ولا أنزلت آية في كتاب الله إلا وأنا أعلم فيما أنزلت. And there is no verse that was revealed in the book of Allah except I know the reason for its revelation. Then he says, وَلَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَحَدًا أَعْلَمَ مِنِّي بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَبْلُغُهُ الْإِبِلُ لَرَكِبْتُ إِلَيْهِ. And if I knew anyone who had more knowledge of me, of the book of Allah, that riding on camels would reach him, I would ride. I would leave out and travel. And he's not bragging about himself. Verily, first and foremost, he's speaking about the blessings of Allah. This is في تحدث بنعمة الله عز وجل, mentioning the blessing and the favor of Allah عز وجل upon him, of the knowledge that he was blessed with regards to the book of Allah, wa also al-hathu ala akhthi anhu, and also encouraging the people to take the knowledge from him, to benefit from him. Yani that he has learned this knowledge precisely, and he's worse than that, so you are learning from someone who is qualified, benefit. And this is something that is allowed at sometimes, although no doubt there's a thin line, a person he should be careful, especially in these days, that he will not be deceived. But the point of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is this affair here, to clarify this great blessing and favor, and also to clarify for his students that he's speaking upon certain knowledge, and he's aware, and he has learned from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, and also to inform them of the virtue of this knowledge, in that if one is not able to obtain it except by traveling and leaving his home, then he will do that. It's been narrated about Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the best of the tabi'in. He died in the year 95. That he traveled from Al-Kufa, which is in Iraq, to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, in Mecca, yas'aluhu an tafsiri ayah, in order to ask him about the interpretation of one verse. He traveled this great distance in those days, in those times, and that hardship, in order to ask Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma about the interpretation of one verse. And he meaning that all the money that he spent, all the hardship that he went through, this trials, this was nothing in what he's in search for, just to understand properly one verse from the book of Allah azza wa jal, the value that this is within their hearts, how valuable this is in their hearts, and likewise how insignificant this worldly life and its glitter, and its joys, and its pleasure, and his hardships and difficulties are likewise insignificant in the face of this knowledge and learning the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, and likewise, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he traveled to Al-Kufa in order to meet Ka'b ibn Ujra, radiyallahu anhu, to ask him about his story about fidyatul adha, the ransom for the hardship, with regards to the issues of Hajj. We discussed that. And so Al-Hasan al-Basri, he traveled this great distance just to ask him about that. And he's the one who the verses were revealed about him and his situation, radiyallahu anhu. So he traveled to him to ask him about that and to get the details directly from him, radiyallahu anhu. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, وَحَدَفَ رَجُلٌ, and this is from some benefits Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullah, وَحَدَفَ رَجُلٌ يَمِينًا فَأَشْكَرَ عَلَى الْفُقَهَا فَدُلَّ عَلَى بَلَدٍ فَاسْتَبْعَدَهُ فَدُلَّ عَلَى بَلَدٍ فَاسْتَبْعَدَهُ. That an individual, from the previous generation, the individual, he took an oath, he swore about something, and then whenever he asked the fatwa with regards to this oath that he made, the fuqaha, the scholars of jurisprudence, they're not certain about the ruling. They're not sure about the ruling. So he was led to a land where there is a scholar there that they think will be able to answer him, that he has the knowledge. So he considered it to be far off. فَقِيلَ لَهُ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ الْبَلَدْ قَرِيبٌ عَلَى مَنْ أَهَمَّهُ دِينُهُ. So it was said to him that indeed that far off land is near for the one who is concerned about his religion. Some people, they won't even drive from the outskirts of Atlanta to the masjid because it's too far. But the one who his religion concerns him, it's easy for him to drive. It's easy for him to fly. It's easy for him to ride. It's easy for him to go through hardship. It's easy for him to sell some of his belongings in order to buy a plane ticket and to leave and to go learn the Arabic language, to go learn the deen of Allah, to go learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the lips of those who carry it. Allahu Akbar. It's been narrated by Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, Sayyid al-Tabi'een, from the best of the Tabi'een. He died in the year 94. Rahimahullah, he says, إِنِّي كُنْتُ لَأَسِيرُ الْأَيَّامَ وَالْلَيَالِي فِي طَالِبِي حَدِيثٍ وَاحِدٍ. He said, I used to travel the distance of nights and days in search for one narration. This was their methodology. This was their way that they write poetry about these affairs. One of them, he would say, رَحَلْتُ أَطْلُبُ أَصْلَ حَدِيثِ مُجْتَهِدًا وَزِينَةُ الْمَرْءِ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَحَدِيثُ. لا يطلب العلم إلا بازل ذكر وليس يبغضه إلا مخانيث لا تعجبن بمال سوف تتركه فإنما هذه الدنيا مواريث. And the poet, he says, رحلت أطلب أصل الحديث وزينة المرء في الدنيا أحاديث. He says, I set out traveling to search for the foundation of knowledge, striving hard, and to learn it from the people of knowledge directly. And the adornment of a person in this life is the narrations. I need to learn them, to know them, and to apply them. This is true beauty. This is true adornment. A person who will rectify his soul, rectify his creed, rectify his heart, rectify his manners, rectify his conduct until he is upon the best way, the best path, the path of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path of Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali, wa sa'ir as-sahaba, رضي الله عنهم. وزينة المرء في الدنيا أحاديث لا يطلب العلم إلا بازل ذكر. No one will seek knowledge except for a true man, except for someone who's a real man. He's the only one who will seek knowledge. ولا يبغضه إلا مخانيث. And no one will despise seeking knowledge except for the feminine, any of those men who are feminine. وليعذ بالله, those men who are weak. وليس يبغضه إلا المخانيث. No one would despise it except for those feminine. وَلَا تَعْجَبَنَّ بِمَالٍ سَوْفَ تَتْرُقُهُ فَإِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا مَوَارِيثُ. Do not be amazed at some wealth that you're going to leave behind, because indeed this worldly life is nothing but inheritance. And whatever wealth you have, you will not take it with you. The true inheritance is that which is inherited from the prophets and messengers عليهم الصلاة والسلام, and the best of that is the inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is referred to in this narration. The people of knowledge, they mention the reasons for traveling. What are the reasons for traveling to seek narrations? What is the reasons for traveling to seek knowledge? In the early days and the times of the companions, the reason why they would travel to seek knowledge is to hear a narration that they did not hear, that they did not hear themselves. To hear a narration from a companion who heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they themselves did not hear. Or to hear a narration that they have heard themselves from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but to verify that. But to verify that and to hear it from someone else likewise who heard it. Any of those who were still alive. And we've seen an example of that. And in the time of the Tabi'een, the students of the companions radiallahu anhum, the reason why they would travel, that and he forced them to begin traveling until it became a well-known way, is that in those days the companions, they had split up into different lands. And one, as we've seen, one of them would be in Al-Kufa, and another one he would be in Misr, another one he would be here, and another one he would be there, and they would leave out in the different lands in jihad. And then likewise, as the empire is spreading, then a number of the noble of them, they would be set as leaders and places and people of authority in those different lands and those different societies, as teachers and governors and the likes like this. So each one of them is carrying his portion that he learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them, they have general knowledge that they share, and other ones, they have specific issues that they knew that others did not carry. So for this reason, they would travel to seek knowledge, and likewise that which has proceeded from the appearance of innovation in the people of desires, and people beginning to lie in the religion and fabricate narrations. This all was the means that called them to stand up and to travel to seek knowledge and to verify the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and defend it. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.